Friends, I am going to begin our service. If more people hop on, they can, and that will be fine. But it is around that time. So I'm going to begin this evening by sharing my screen with you all. Can you all see the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Excellent. Well, good evening, friends. Welcome to our first virtual Maundy Thursday service. I'm sure you can all tell that we have folks gathered tonight from Mount Nebo, from Glenshaw. We have a few friends who are gathering. So welcome, everybody. It's good to have you all in one place virtually this evening. I have a few announcements to share with you all. I have to minimize that so I can see the notes that I made, but I will bring it back up in a moment. Where? There we go. Okay. So before we get started with our worship service for tonight, I wanted to kind of introduce you all to the different people that'll be participating in the service. So when I call your name and introduce you, if you want to wave so that people know who you are. So the first person I want to introduce is Mickey. She is the music director at Glenshaw Valley, and she will be leading us in most of our music this evening. The second person I want to introduce is Mark. Mark, if you want to wave. Mark is our organist at Mount Nebo. He's actually at the church right now. He's going to play our communion hymns and offertory music from the organ. So, hi, Mark. Arlie is going to be our lay reader this evening. She's going to be doing the scripture reading. And Cliff, he's the one with the crosses in his background. I've made Cliff the host of this meeting, so that means Cliff has the power to mute and unmute you. Also, if you're having any technical issues during this call, please send him a message, not me, because it'll be really hard for me to lead the service and be troubleshooting tech problems. So thank you, Cliff, for that support. The second announcement is to remind you that we are going to be celebrating communion virtually this evening. So if you haven't already, you'll need to grab some grape juice and some bread to participate. I suggest you do that if you haven't already, either during the prelude or the offertory. Don't do that right now. So at both Mount Nebo and at Glenshaw Valley, we don't typically do it. Cliff, are you able to mute everybody but me? Thank you. So at our churches, we don't typically do a Good Friday service, but we do typically at the conclusion of our Maundy Thursday service, we do transition to Good Friday. Since we are not in the churches and we can't strip the altar and put up our Good Friday stuff, our final hymn is going to be a more traditional Good Friday hymn. And to help us kind of prepare for tomorrow, I'm going to ask at the conclusion of the service that we leave the meeting in silence. I'm actually going to be ending the meeting shortly after the blessing. This is not to cut off a time of fellowship. This is just to help us prepare for tomorrow. We will be gathering together again at 10 a.m. For our Easter worship service. I will have Lynn and Jennifer send out the invitation for this meeting either tomorrow or Saturday. It will be at 10 a.m. I will open the meeting at 9:45, and I'll keep the meeting open after the service if people want to have a time of fellowship. All right. With that, I am going to turn it over to Mickey for our prelude. Thank you. Thank you, Mickey. I forgot to make a slide for this, but at this time, we are going to share our joys and concerns with one another. If you have a prayer request you would like to share tonight, I invite you to either type it out and put it in the chat or unmute yourself and say it out loud.
Prayers of Thanksgiving that Cassie didn't show any signs of having coronavirus, and knock on wood, life will start to improve here soon.
Yay! And you guys are able to return to work on Monday?
I've been working from home, but yes, she starts back on Easter, and then Cody and Mike will go back on Monday.
Wonderful.
If she gets the house back to herself.
Excellent. It's good to have some joys. Yes. Hopefully you've all seen by now, but Governor Wolf ordered for schools to be closed through the end of the year. So prayers for students who are now having to figure out how to learn virtually, prayers for teachers that are having to figure out how to teach virtually, prayers for parents that are going to have to figure out prolonged periods of childcare, prayers especially for children that are facing food insecurity, for children that are not in safe home environments. I'm sure the governor didn't come to that decision lightly, but it is going to have a major impact on our region. School closings. Just so you're all aware, we have a few people in both congregations that are showing signs of what could be the flu, what could be a cold, what could be allergies, or what could be the coronavirus. I haven't heard definitively from anyone that anyone has like taken a test and tested positive. That doesn't mean there aren't people that have it. So just continue to lift up all of us in prayer, especially while we can't be together, that nobody has really terrible symptoms or gets this virus. I have a joy to share. We found out this week that the Board of Pensions is offering a program that is allowing churches to defer their dues for the next 3 months. So basically, like, I get to keep my health insurance and pension, but the church doesn't have to pay it for 3 months. So this will help alleviate some of our financial concerns. So that was really good news, and I'm grateful that both churches in getting that paperwork filled out. Rich has asked us to pray for Millie in New Jersey, who has the coronavirus. We will pray for Millie. Also, we will continue to pray for our healthcare workers, for our essential workers, and for our police, EMTs, firefighters, all of those who are continuing to provide us with necessary services during this time.
I also have a joy.
Sure.
A joy / announcement. Joy is we're the faithful are sending in their offerings during the week in the mail. And yay. I'm going up daily to get them out of the mailbox and taking them up to the bank weekly. So if anyone concerned at Mount Nebo about sending in an offering, it is getting picked up, is getting to the bank, and it'll be quite helpful.
Yes, thank you everyone for your generosity during this very difficult time.
Prayers for Jim Oliver and his restaurant. There was a fire there Monday night. I heard it Tuesday morning on the news.
Yes. Yes, we will pray for Jim and hope that Sunny Jim's can recover from it. Any other prayer requests?
Can we have prayers for all the people that are in the apartments like I am? We had 3 deaths, and we have 30 people that have the virus.
So
we're now in total lockdown. We can't leave our apartments.
So, Sandy, would you like us to pray for the people in your apartment, for people that
There's 20 there's 20 buildings, and okay. It's 20 buildings. There's 30 people that have the virus. 3 people have died this week. I'm just praying when in this building has it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just making sure I write it all down. Any other prayer requests? All right. We will lift these up a little bit later in our service. At this time, we are going to join together for our opening hymn. We learned last week that this works best if Mickey plays and the rest of us are muted. So I'm going to pull up the slide, mute myself, and we are all going to sing together, "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." Thank you. All right, friends, at this time, I invite you to join with me in our prayer of confession. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride. We see ourselves pure when we are stained and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Friends, at this time, we are going to play a recording of a choral anthem that the choir did for Maundy Thursday last year.
Yeah.
To join me in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our world. Lord, we pray for all those we know and we love in our families, in our communities, and in our world who are struggling with and suffering from the coronavirus. Lord, we pray that those who are currently infected would heal quickly. We pray that there would be enough hospital beds and ventilators for the most sick. Lord, we pray especially that a vaccine would come quickly, so that we would be able to return to a somewhat normal way of life. Lord, we pray especially for Millie as she recovers from the coronavirus. At the same time, we also pray, Lord, at the same time for Sandy and for her apartment complex. We pray that the virus would not spread quickly in that place, and we pray for the recovery of those who are currently affected. At the same time, Lord, we give you thanks and praise that Cassie is not showing symptoms of the virus. We thank you that Mike and Cody will be able to return to work next week. Lord, we lament with all of the children and teenagers here in Pennsylvania that they will not be able to return to school this year. Lord, we pray especially for all of the high school and college seniors that won't be able to participate in things like graduations and proms and senior days. Lord, we pray that you would be with the parents of students, help them to be flexible and creative as they adapt to this new normal. We pray for our educators that they would be able to find creative ways to continue to help students learning online. Lord, we continue to pray for all of our workers who must work in the midst of this pandemic. We pray especially for the men and women who are delivering our packages and our groceries. We pray for our healthcare workers that, in addition to caring for the very ill, are doing their regular work of heart surgeries and knee surgeries and kids that have colds. Lord, we also pray and lift up to you our leaders. We pray especially for our leaders on a local level who are making decisions every day that impact our daily lives. We pray that they would do what needs to be done, but not too much. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that in the midst of this uncertainty, we have men and women who are governing us. We don't envy the position that they're in to have to enact laws in the midst of this crisis. We pray that you would give them wisdom as they try to help the most vulnerable. Lord, in the midst of all of this uncertainty and fear, we are celebrating Holy Week. We gather together virtually to reenact the story that is central to our faith. Lord, we pray that you would continue to give us leaders creativity as we face these challenges and give us new energy and new vision to retell this story. God of compassion, bless us and those we love, our friends and families. That drawing close to you, we may be drawn closer to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, at this point, in a few seconds, I'm going to invite Mark to start the offertory. I've asked him to play a little bit longer of an offertory to give you an opportunity to reflect on these three questions. You can either write them out or you can reflect on them silently. So the first question is, what has the coronavirus taken from you? The second question is what has the coronavirus not taken from you? And the last, maybe the most important question, is what has the coronavirus given you? Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Arlie, I invite you to unmute yourself and read our scripture reading for this evening.
Bear with me, I'm reading from the screen here. No, I'm not reading from the screen here.
Sorry, I know it's small. I'll make the font bigger for Easter.
Just send it to me ahead of time. It was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
All right, friends, please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. On the eve of his arrest, Jesus gathers his disciples together for a last supper. We know that Jesus knows what is about to happen. Judas is going to turn him over to the Roman authorities. Peter will deny knowing him. But instead of exposing the hearts of his betrayers, Jesus reveals himself as the one who loves them to the end, by becoming their servant. On this Maundy Thursday, we read the familiar story of Jesus expressing his love of his disciples through the act of foot washing. To wash another's feet is a really intimate, vulnerable thing to do, particularly in the ancient Near East, where people's feet were always caked in mud and dirt. And they probably smelled horrible. This service was usually performed by the lowest servant of the household, certainly not by Jesus, the honored guest. But Jesus does it so he can model for his disciples how they are to love others. Now, initially, not all of the disciples welcome this foot washing. Peter even says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." Peter's protest illustrates how not everyone is able to receive Jesus's love. Not everyone can stand the discomfort that love demands. But the discomfort that Peter feels over Jesus washing his feet is precisely what Jesus calls us to offer to him daily. Our discomfort with bearing our needs and exposing ourselves to the needs of others. A fair question to ask of the text this evening is, what exactly is Jesus calling us to do here? Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet." What Jesus means by this is that we should treat another with love, even and particularly when it's difficult to do so. That we should love one another with the same vulnerability Jesus displays when he washes his disciples' feet. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Friends, we gather together this evening to reflect on how we are to wash one another's feet in the midst of a global pandemic. I believe that Jesus's command that we wash each other's feet remains unchanged during these unprecedented times. We may not be allowed to touch one another right now, but we are still called to love others even when it is difficult, even when we don't know how, even when we maybe don't want to, even when we aren't sure if we're doing it right. And I still think that this love has to be an embodied practice, or this has to be a practice that we live out in our bodies, not just in our minds. Our acts of love witness to the unity of Christ in our shared humanity. But since we are in the midst of a global pandemic, how we embody the love of Jesus is going to look a little different than it has in the past. One way that we can do this right now is to continue to stay home as much as we can. When we have to go out, we can continue to practice social distancing or keeping 6 feet of separation between us and other people. I'm about 6 feet tall, so I try to keep roughly the length of me between myself and another person. We can also wash our hands frequently, perhaps more frequently than is comfortable. Definitely after we are in public places, certainly more than we're used to. We can also wear face masks when we go to the grocery store or pharmacy. I know that many of us don't have face masks, so we can either make one or we can use something that we already have at home as a makeshift one. I have this running headband that I usually wear when I'm running to keep the sweat out of my eyes, but I find it actually makes a really great face mask. Helps me to keep my nose and mouth covered when I have to go out in public. One of the really difficult things we can do, and that we must do, is we can postpone our family Easter gatherings, or we can try to hold them virtually. We can continue to set aside time every day to pray for our medical professionals, our essential workers, and our local leaders. Another way that I'm seeing people embody the love of Jesus during this difficult time is to get creative and to maybe think outside the box. This week, when I was on a Zoom call with other pastors in our presbytery, Our executive presbyter asked us to reflect on how ministry is being necessarily changed for the better during this time. He encouraged us to not see this time as a stopgap before life gets back to normal, but instead challenged us to name what new skills we're learning and maybe how we can add these skills to our toolbox once we get to some kind of new normal. While we're all hoping and we're praying that this period of being apart from each other will end soon, this is also an opportunity for us to learn some new things. One new skill we're all learning is how to use technology to build community. Session opted to hold worship this evening via a Zoom meeting so that we could celebrate communion together. When we gather together to receive communion, even when we do it virtually, we proclaim to the world that that which divides us is not as strong as that which unites us. One of my favorite things about being a pastor is watching our congregations partake of the elements together, even when we're partaking of the elements in a new way. Necessity has forced two congregations from opposite sides of our city to come together to partake of this holy meal. People who don't always agree with one another. People who want to love another, but who don't always know how. All coming together to receive this holy meal in this time and in this place. Friends, I truly believe that Jesus's command to love one another begins at the table. But it doesn't end there. Having received this holy meal, we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ where we can, as we can, and with who we can. Sure, how we do this is going to look different in the coming weeks and months as we work together to slow the spread of the coronavirus. But I'm convinced that the only way out of this global pandemic is to all do our part to embody the radical love of Jesus in this new normal. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, we are going to transition to sharing communion together. I invite you to gather your elements. Rather than put the whole liturgy for the communion on the screen, I just have a copy of it, and I will lead you through it as we go, and I'll kind of motion for when we are going to do what. Let us begin. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, shed for you in my blood, that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God. Go ahead, Mark. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to join with me in our closing hymn. We are going to sing all of the verses of "Were You There?" Thank you. Friends, before we go from this place, let me offer a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Go in peace, friends.